Right. Good evening, all those who participate with this call over BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for having us worldwide live. Thank you all for being here. We have people here on the phone line, and it's close to 6 o'clock. We're on a little early. Let's see. Yes, 5:58. Does anyone know what the topic is tonight? I welcome the next person who came in over the phone line. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Teresa from Indiana.
Good evening, Teresa. Thank you for being here.
Well, it's great to be here. It's always good to hear your voice, guys.
Thank you, Teresa. Mm-hmm. Anybody else came in? Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening, Joel from Chicago. How are you? Everybody?
Hey, Joel. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
All right. Thank you for being here, Joe.
Yeah, and your voice is just a warm hug, might I add.
Thank you.
Totally agree, Joe. I just said the same.
Hey, we just got to share the wealth.
It's Teresa, by the way, Joe. Hi, how are you? Hi, everybody.
I'm doing well. If you're not having fun, what's the point?
Exactly. It's awful quiet tonight.
I know, that's why I'm trying to shake it up a bit.
It's a day like no other. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say name and location. If you want to.
Only if you want to.
This is Pauline?
Can you hear me, guys?
Yes, I hear you.
Oh. I was just going to say the ship is here. Where's the rudder? There he is.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. And I ask the next person. Thank you for being here. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Carrie in Nevada.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How are you, Hyde?
Thank you for being here.
So, is this microphone is doing good?
It sounds good to me, yes. Now I am on a cell phone in the field, and I don't have the greatest reception myself, so hard to...
I'm on Skype for a change.
Mm. All right.
It's a little muffled to me.
It just sounds a little bassy.
Is that better now?
I think so.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yes.
I think so. Okay. All right.
I welcome the person who just came in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, it's Vaughn from North Hollywood.
Hello, welcome to the call, Vaughn.
It's good to be
here.
Hey,
Vaughn.
Hi, Vaughn.
Yeah. Hello.
And somebody else came in after Vaughn. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to.
We should do a duet. Right.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Hi, this is Yvonne from Florida. How are you?
Hi, Yvonne. I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm good.
All right. All right, Win 602. I will do the star 8, and then you take it from here.
No, I will just do the star 8, okay?
I didn't call you guys again?
I said I just did star 8. I just did it.
You did? Okay, 10-4. Okay, 10-4.
All right.
Hello.
This conference is being recorded.
All right. This is October 28th. 2013. And Wing Free in Sedona. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Now, does everyone around you have instructions to be quiet during this time?
Yes.
They do? Okay. We're doing our Monday night call, and if you happen to be one of those people that listens on Monday night, has never listened on a Sunday night, I highly recommend that you tune into a Sunday morning call, because I do believe our Sunday calls are the most important and the most transformative. And, you know, if we ever had a private group or a small group, we could almost do that Sunday call every night. Maybe shorter. Gary, it sounds like you're moving your microphone around.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. But I do believe on Sunday we are consciously creating, all of us, a group energy with the higher sources that many people can feel. And of course, we're doing that all the time. We're creating a group energy right now. You can't do anything without doing a group energy. But the whole purpose of the Sunday call is to create a group energy. When we do a Monday call or a Wednesday call, usually the group energy is there, but it's kind of a background program. And we look for information or topics about everything. And you need both. You need the information. You need the information so you understand in your conscious mind how this works. And that your conscious mind can apply the principles. That your conscious mind can have the cellular memories. Even when, this whole thing about past lives, I'm telling you, Terry says she remembers her past lives. I don't remember my past lives, although I had evidence that I'm sure of at least, four past lives that I've had. And I don't remember them. But when I read about those people, because some of them were famous, then I can say, yes, I can feel it. I can feel I could have been that person. I had their talents. I watched how they made decisions. And I said, I probably would have made decisions in the same way, even though I don't remember. I feel the alignment. And I don't think about it. It doesn't matter who you were, even if you were somebody famous. That can be a pain in the neck if people think of you special, because the key about past lifetimes is, in the highest truth, there is no such thing as a past lifetime. It's the same soul, just keep getting new bodies, getting more experiences. And every time you get into the body, you forget everything. But your soul is still present, still has the same talents, still has the same predispositions, at least as far as I can tell, still has the same hang-ups, unless you work them out in a particular lifetime. And the interesting thing is, I don't know if any of you thought about this, but in the raw stuff from Carla Rucker, they said that, you know, there are, at the time Carla did her raw material, they gave a number of 65 million wanderers in this realm. And then they said 90% of them get lost in the realm again. Now, that is very interesting. And I thought about that. I brought this up one other time, but it's an interesting enough point. I think I'll say it again. It would be, one might think, that when you graduate this realm, it's like you suddenly got a PhD, right? And if you have a PhD, you always have it. So you stay graduated. Well, now, according to the stuff from Carla, if you graduate this realm and you choose to come back as a wanderer, then it's very easy to lose your PhD. In fact, according to the Ra Group, 90% of the people that come back here lose their connections, and they get caught up, and I think they use the word maelstrom. Maelstrom, M-A-E-L-S-T-R-O-M, the maelstroms of this realm. They get caught up again, and that sometimes they say it's foolhardy to come back here. And on the other hand, it's brave, because if no one came back, this realm would be given to the negative on a silver platter. It's those people that return from the higher levels, the ones that remember, the ones, even when they don't have to necessarily remember they were in a higher level or their past lives, but they find the opportunity to be of service down here, which could mean being a concierge at a hotel, or it could mean being an ambulance driver, or it could mean being a musician. But some way that you share your higher level gifts with other people, and then that is fulfilling your mission to be here. But as I was pointing out, there's no PhD that goes with you. Once you come back into this realm, you have to put it together again. Of course, you have a lot of tools to put it together, but it doesn't necessarily have to get together. I know for myself, I spent many years, and I didn't have it together. I said, what am I doing here? I couldn't figure out how to anchor myself. And here I am doing something this extraordinary, and it took me a long time to figure it out. And I could have stayed lost. There was no guarantee, because I felt lost. So the interesting thing is when you have an opportunity to graduate this realm, it's probably an extraordinary moment in your history. Because what makes that opportunity to graduate? What gives it to you? Well, I'm going to speculate here. It's perhaps finding the right life circumstance that responds to your highest nature, and you start to have that nature and be who you are in your soul level. But something wakes you up in your life. And that's what I think. And then you go, you graduate, and then you come back again to be of service or to help someone down here who is still stuck here, and you don't carry your graduation with you. It's not like you can come in for a life and be sure you're going to go back at the end of the life. I'm sure it's possible. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's happened. But it is absolutely no guarantee, because once you're here, you have no memory. You get caught up with your parents, your neighborhood, and you're back in karma again, creating karma. And it's not bad. It's just that you don't know what you're doing, and you don't know why you're doing it, and neither do I. That's why Carla says we're a bunch of bozos on the bus. And so I announced the topic tonight. I didn't tell Terry. It has to do with signs, totems. You know what a totem is? The symbol, superstitions. We know the negative uses all kinds of signs. They use, you know, secret handshakes. They have signs on buildings. They have whatever. We know Native Americans talk about signs. It's people that think when a certain bird crosses your path, it means something. Certain people think when there's a rainbow, it means something. Other people are superstitious. If a cat goes under a ladder, it means something. All these things mean something. When you have a synchronicity, it means something. Well, what does it mean? How does all this work? I do know for sure that there is such a thing as symbolism, and animals create certain kinds of symbolism. Spiders do. And there's people out there that do all kinds of research on this. But I'm not an expert, but I thought it would be a fascinating topic for a channeling session, because I really don't know the answers to it. And I didn't go over this with Terry. Terry, is that an okay topic for you?
Well, I'm really curious about it myself, because I've noticed stuff. For instance, I was invited to dinner at a friend's house.
I'm not hearing you. Can you hear me?
You are? You can't hear me? You can't hear me? Hello?
I hear you loud and clear, Terry.
Okay. I was invited over to a friend's house, and they cooked a wonderful dinner for me. And after the dinner, the wife went into the other room to do something, and I was talking to the husband for a while, and then I got up to leave, and he gave me a big hug, and I swept the glass off the table, a beautiful cut glass. And it just broke all over the floor. And I said, oh, no, your wife's going to be really upset with me. And he said, don't worry, I'll clean it up. And 2 weeks later, he died mysteriously. And I don't know if there was anything, you know, to it, but I wondered. And then another time I was sitting watching the birds, and I was noticing the big, huge black crows out in the back. And they were just kept talking, and then a couple of weeks later, a friend of mine died, and I wondered if there was any connection or if that was a sign. I don't know. But it is mysterious, you know. Can you hear me?
I hear you, Abby. I cannot hear you, Wynn. I hear you, Terry.
Okay. Let me go check. Oh, no, Wynn's not here right now. Well, I think this is a very interesting topic. But because I've heard that some of those things are symbols of things to come, And I just, those are two things that I noticed, and I didn't know if they had any meaning, but like when the crows were outside talking to each other, and I just had a very bad feeling that that was a bad omen. Now, other times the crows are outside and talking to each other, and I don't even think about it, but in this one case, I thought, geez, I wonder if that has a meaning. And then my friend died a couple weeks later. And I don't know if, like, one of them was the crows talking and the other was a glass breaking. I've heard something about mirrors, too. Like, it's like bad luck to break a mirror or something, which I've done before, but I haven't noticed anything from it.
I'm back, by the way. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, my Skype dropped out. You know what? This must be a really good topic. Have you guys ever noticed? That, you see, there's a sign. It's one that I adopt. I said, when I get dropped out, it's because something really strong is going to happen. And that's something I really think that's true. I mean, I notice it so often. You notice that, Terry?
Yeah, I do. I notice that there's more energy on it, and it drops out the lines.
Right. And, you know, lots of people say that. They say people that have strong energy fields, they walk under streetlights, and the streetlights burn out when they walk under their computer.
Yeah, that was true. That happens to me sometimes. You know, I try not to fool with it too much because, like, I was sitting in a cafe in Burnaby in British Columbia, and I was wondering about the nature of electricity, and I was, like, up in the electric wires in the cafe, like checking out the flow of current. This sounds pretty weird, but I was doing that, and it's like it short-circuited the current through myself, and I had to stop it, but the lights went immediately, right at that point, went out in the cafe, and they went out all over British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And they were off. They couldn't figure it out. They were off for a while.
It's a good thing you didn't tell them you did it, huh?
My husband, at the time, my husband looked at me and he said, "What did you do?" You know, we were sitting there in the dark.
You know, one of the things about these signs is when a sign has a traditional meaning to it, like a cat going under a ladder, or walking, no, not a, just walking under a ladder, supposed to be bad luck. Now, it's my thought that if you think it's bad luck and you walk under a ladder, you might create something to happen rather than there's something inherent in walking under a ladder. On the other hand, there were supposedly pyramids. There were certain curses that were put around certain of the pyramids. I don't know which ones, but that when people would go in them, they would be attacked by certain energy fields. And that probably was not superstition. That was magic, black magic. We know that exists. We know people put out strong intentions. They put out curses.
Excuse me, Wynn? I think you better put protection around us if you're going to talk about this, please.
Okay. Well, I'm going to call in the light. I'm not going to emphasize curses. I'm not going to emphasize that. I'm going to emphasize signs and the way we interpret signs, things that happen. I'm mentioning that in the preamble, but I'm not going to be asking about it. But thank you for coming to our rescue anyway. Okay? That was Teresa, right?
No, it was Julia.
Julia. Okay, Julia. Hi, Julia. Okay. So, let me see. What time is it? We could take 6:22. We could take 5 minutes, open up the mics, and see if anyone wants to share any bit of experience they had in this topic. You know, anything ever happened to you? Do you have a superstition that you're sure of, or that have you had some experience of? Don't go into curses. Don't go into attachments, entities, possessions on this call, okay? Too intense, and we're not going to do that with the channeling. But just, you know, you had a sign, you took a rainbow and something happened, you know, something like that. So I'm going to open the mics a second. We'll just do this short. Is anyone out there wants to say something?
Hello, Wynn.
Yeah.
This is Michael.
Yes, Mike.
I happen to have American Indian sign that if you see a owl in the morning, then you're going to do something good for somebody. And it has happened that the fellow with an American Indian saw one, went in to tell his wife that he was going to do something good today, and certainly did. He rescued a woman and her two children from being hit by a 16-wheeler.
Now, did they see an owl, or did they dream an owl? Was there actually an owl that they saw?
You know, it's a national owl that he saw.
The national what?
Actual owl.
Actual owl. Actual owl. Okay. Thank you.
Owl. The one that goes...
We don't see owls that much, do we? Have you ever seen an owl, Michael?
Say again?
Did you ever see an owl?
An owl, yes. I've seen the owls over near my sister's in Greenwich.
I can't remember ever seeing an owl. Let's see, anyone else want to share something?
This is Teresa, and I'd like to share.
Go ahead.
Something really wonderful happened to me. I was very close with my older sister. She was like a second mother to me, and this was probably about a year and a half or 2 years after she had passed. And I was missing her, and I was lying down, just closed my eyes to try and relax and take a nap, and I turned my head over towards the doorway of the bedroom, and she was standing in the bedroom doorway. She was about 3 feet off of the floor, and she had a beautiful smile on her face. Her hair was dark like it used to be, and she looked to be about 30 years old, and she was very, I could tell she was happy and content, and I took it as a sign that she wanted me to stop grieving for her, and that she was letting me know that she was happy and that I should let that go. And I did. And it helped me tremendously.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Thanks for sharing. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Something from a dream the same as an omen, or do you have to see it in...
No, I think that's a whole other topic. But I think there's definitely symbols that people have in their dreams which they interpret to have meaning.
Yeah, I dreamed something and then it happened the next day, but I don't know if that's really an omen.
Oh, you had like a prediction.
Yeah, it was just an art show I'd entered, and I dreamed that I got the card to tell you if you got in or not, and then the second item got in, and the card, and then the next day came in the mail, and it was exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that qualifies as an omen, though.
Okay. It qualifies. It's certainly a prophecy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was an accident. I'm going to mute everybody. Okay, we're all muted. And Terry, are you ready?
Is this Gail Liverby?
I really should say, are you unmuted? Forget this idea of being ready. Okay?
Right.
All right. You know, I want to thank all of you for keeping your energy present on these calls. Somebody new wouldn't understand this, but those of you that have been coming to the calls regularly know or understand that doing this in such a public way is a pretty unusual thing. And the only reason we can do it is because we've transcended the boundaries between what would be public and what would be private. So we're doing something which is quite sacred, which, you know, suddenly there's hundreds of thousands of people paying attention to me. I don't know if we could do this. Maybe we could if we could get enough energy going with all those people. But it may take a while to do that if it happens. Because I'm not going to do it if I don't feel a sense of protective energy. And you people that keep coming to the calls create that energy so that it feels safe. And so I thank you for that. We're creating an archive of some of the most amazing material on the planet. And we're creating it because of you. You're part of the creation. So when you think you're not doing anything, you are, just by showing up. And I'm sure Terry agrees with that and understands exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So, Father, did you want to say something, Terry?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies. Can you feel it when it gets through your body, through your feet, and into the center of the Earth? And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Fa'an. This is the 28th of October 2013. And are you experiencing an echo?
No. No echo here.
Okay, it's sort of hard because we experienced an echo, but maybe it's gone away now. Give us a moment. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'an. And we are present and we are aware of the topic. And we look for the words to express the information that you are seeking. We send love light to those. We feel your resonance. And it is a sacred movement, a sacred moment. We see that there is some spirit language that is universal that one can learn, that has been a language through time that those in the third dimension can interact with the higher forces through being open to this spirit language. We give you an example. One of the symbols or the images in spirit language is the bird. And the bird stands for passing on of a message through the air. The existence of this spirit language creates some symbology when one is in the third dimension and one is addressing or is looking at or viewing a bird. There are different colors, and different colors have different significances in the spirit language. We move from this to the black, just taking a look at the separate units of information concerning some of the black arts, and we do not go into this, but we say that you do not need to go into those areas. You can stay with the overall spirit language. And this, when you do not go into the separate areas of, we are speaking slowly here as we are attempting to walk the line without going into the separate areas and staying away from those separate areas. And our message here is that if you are open toward going into a separate area, for instance, we give an example like the 13th floor of a building is negative, and so being on the 13th floor, many buildings eliminate the 13th floor and go directly from the 12th floor to 14th floor. You do not need to be affected by those separate areas of society that have beliefs of the meaning of certain images. And these are not spirit language. They are deviations that the certain areas, say witchcraft, have gotten into and assigned meanings to. If you do not believe or imbue yourself with those areas and you stay above those areas, then you are not affected by that. And the symbolism does not apply to you. When one gets into an area and they are thinking along the lines of that something might happen, and they are picking up actually from the vibratory rates around them that something might happen, and this is a perception, it is beyond the ordinary senses, and they're picking it up. And then they have also conjointly a belief that in one of these separate areas, darker areas, they have a belief, then the two can come together and you can say, oh, I saw this, and then that happened, and there's a connection. The connection
was because they were picking up something in the extrasensory area before. And then they got the leaf, and they attached the leaf to it. Does this make sense?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
We suggest that perhaps one might listen to this more than once. The symbols, we would say it again in another way perhaps, the symbols are applicable only if the person is oriented in that way, and they do not need to be oriented in that way, but it is easy to fall into because it is part of society's beliefs, say that the 13th floor is an unlucky floor. A black cat crosses the road is an unlucky omen. And it is not an unlucky omen. It is that the person has attached that belief in society to their own self and then has observed or been in the manner openness of unique extrasensory perception that then when that thing that is presenting itself in their extrasensory perception presents itself, they say, oh, there's this belief in the black bird. And then it puts it together. They attach the significance at that point. We have said it another way.
Are you saying that in general, when people see signs, attach meaning to it, it's not a true universe, but a projection of their
own? You were very hard to hear. You were cutting out.
When people see things that they consider signs, can you hear me?
Yes.
When they see signs, is that always their own projection? Or are there times when there are greater universal forces at play?
It is sometimes, it is a projection that society has assigned. And then when they see that, then they become afraid that that sign is applicable. And if they also get the extrasensory perception of something coming, then they can say, oh, that they are already sensitized to the potential of something happening by their extrasensory perception. They're picking up something in their subconscious. They're picking up a vibe. And so they can say, oh, there's this feeling in society that there is this bad luck associated with a certain phenomena, and this can then, because they are picking up something at a subconscious level, then they can attach the two meanings. It is a put-together meaning where they are withdrawing from the image that society has presented. They are attaching what they're picking up to that and saying, oh, well, there's something coming and that's a sign of it. But if they weren't picking up something in their subconscious, then there could be blackbirds chatting all over the yard and they would not even think the least of it.
Now, how about people that would come under the title of shamans, shamanic or Native American, because they're full of rituals and signs? Is that all part of their culture, or is there meaning to it beyond that?
That is part of their culture, and he has worked with themselves very often and has access to extrasensory perception of things beyond the nature of their own life, and they are picking up things, and they are then, as a tribe, say, they see that the whole tribe is picking up things, and they are attaching significance to it, and they can be a guide or a map based upon their extrasensory perception and see beyond the normal, see into the manifestation beginnings, and can then give predictions.
Thank you. There is such a thing as synchronicity. Synchronicity is where something happens, a chance meeting, usually, that is beyond coincidence, the way it comes about. I've had personally many, many synchronicities in my life. Are synchronicities signs? When you have synchronicity, how should you look at and interpret it, if at all?
You're breaking up.
Okay. Are synchronicities signs? Do you understand that?
Yes, it's more like synchronicities are in the world of extrasensory perception. It is the putting together of frequencies. The individual, we give you an example, who is studying a certain artistic subject, then it focused upon that subject. You're breaking up. And there is background noise. Give us a moment to get back into trance. There is the focus of the individual is on the area that he has been thinking about and working with and dreaming about. So then that individual is oriented toward any phenomena that will have to do with that area which he is very interested in. And so, for instance, he may be driving down the street and seeing significant numbers in a split, and thinking, wow, that's a synchronicity. And if he was not so oriented with interest and focus in the area, then he would drive down the street and would never notice the license plate.
so one can get an orientation to see certain things going on and be sensitive to them because of his focus. And this can then open them up to being aware of certain things in that are coming to his consciousness that are in the same category as where he is focused, and he can then have synchronicities because he's open to them.
Thank you. You know,
your voice is very strange. It's electronically, perhaps it is because of the topic. Continue.
Okay. How about things like, I'm just going to say one sentence. How about things like gemstones that have certain qualities?
We cannot hear you.
How about things like gemstones? Can you hear that?
Yes. Gemstones. Gemstones. Modulate different frequencies. And so gemstones can help focus a person into a certain area.
So gemstones are legitimate, not just different gemstones.
We cannot hear you.
Right if I do it. Can you hear me now?
Not very well.
Can you hear me now?
Vaguely.
He tried. Almost.
We cannot hear you.
You not hear me at all?
No. All right, I'm out of the trance now. I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now? You're out of the
trance. Yeah.
All right. Maybe we should just stop. So. Yeah.
We can hear every fourth word.
Every fourth word. Hang on.
This service is provided by free
We cannot hear you at all. All right, this is Terry, and I'm out of the trance. And so.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now we can hear you.
All right. I'm back to Skype.
Okay. Now we can hear you.
I'm in a different location than normal, and I'm probably bringing the energies into this location, and it's probably why I don't usually do calls in this location. It's probably why things are screwing up. But I my cell phone was screwing up, and, well, we don't have to explain it. We're back.
Scott, your voice is buzzy even so.
It's buzzy on Skype?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was an interesting topic. I'm out of the channeling mode, but I'm going to have to listen to that when we transcribe it. I haven't ever considered that before, so it's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to go deeper into it, but I'm sorry that with all the phone stuff, it didn't allow it, and probably we don't have enough time anyway to go deeper as we'd like to go. Because I know there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. And in any case, it is 6:54. Let me unmute everybody. Now, remember how to unmute people. You are all unmuted. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. When did I tell you a story?
Can you call me?
Tell a story.
Who is that?
It's Yvonne from Florida.
Yvonne?
It's
yeah. We have about 2 minutes. Go ahead and tell a story.
Okay, I'm going to be real quick. I had one time, I lost a crystal. And I had a dream. This guy came to me. He had a hood open down. And he took me through this portal where lost things go. And my crystal was there. And I knew it was my crystal because, it had my energy light in there. And it glowed. But it was so real, the dream and the way it happened. And the reason the crystal was there, and I lost it because I was not ready for it. And I just wanted to tell that story.
Well, thank you for sharing. You actually did that so fast. We have time for one other story. Anyone else have a story they want to share? And this is regarding this topic.
Anyone need a healing?
Yeah, Wynn.
Wynn?
Yeah, who's that, Michael?
Yeah. You know, the last 2 days in July, I had to move rather suddenly, relocate, and my pink candles would not stay in the vase without breaking the vase.
Your pink what was doing what?
Candles.
Oh, your pink candles were breaking the vase. I got you. All right.
That's strange. Very strange.
Yeah.
Hey, when is Dharmananda?
Hi, Dharmananda.
Hi. All my healings were going. I hadn't heard from anybody that I had worked on, so I was wondering if anybody had any cures from, all my praying for them.
Is that Dharmananda?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? We better end the call, Dharmananda. We don't have time to go into a conversation now.
Oh, okay.
But we should talk. We should talk soon. And follow up on things and see what's going on, okay?
Yeah, okay.
And in the meantime, all of you, this is kind of a low energy call. Sorry about that. But they all are what they are, and we'll see you Wednesday, and we'll have some really good questions, I am sure. If you don't think of them, I will. And bless you all.
Okay, your conference recording has stopped.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Thanks, Terry.
Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you. Night. I think the energy is too high. That's why the calls are dropping out.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
You call yesterday well, was very powerful.
Pardon me?
The healing call yesterday was very powerful.
Yes.
I really felt that.
Yeah. You know what? I'm in a different location than normal, and I'm anchoring the energies here. So it's like, it's probably part of it. I'm sure that's it. You know, it's not obvious to you guys, but it's like when we do these calls and we're working on a really expanded energy, everything matters. And if somebody walks through a room 20, 30 feet away from Terry, she feels it. It's like when we went on the internet, the very first time we were on the internet, you know, we started out, you know, the idea of getting energies going like this over the phone and over the internet is really unusual. When we started out on the phone, and I mean, the conference calls kept breaking down. The conference calls would drop out all the time. And now maybe the conference call company has increased their technology. I don't know. But then we went on the internet, and when we put it on the internet, it was even worse. It's like, imagine, and they said they had to get their energy through all these systems, through the internet. And so the technology block the energy. So there's a lot more. It looks really easy when it happens, but it took a long time of development to be able to actually bring the energy in so you all could feel it over the internet and over the phone.